call council back in session, please.
That's good. We don't need any people at stake.
Okay, get your left coffee for everybody. Do we need to make more coffee? Does anybody want coffee?
I think there's another part in there.
If there is more, maybe Heather, Councillor Heather. Okay, I've called the meeting to order. And looking at the agenda, I've got two or three comments, if I may. First of all, item 16, the CAO, you may notice, is not here. His father had an accident and he had to take him to the hospital. But I'd like him to be here when we discuss that 16. So we may have to have a special council meeting in the next few days to cover that one. So if you don't mind, we'll take that one off the agenda for today. I've been asked as a courtesy to the residents of the Cottage Country area to see if we could move our agenda around a bit so they don't have to listen to all of the discussions. So I'd like to move, with your acquiescence, 13.3 up to the place of 7. We have no dangerous or unsightly premises today, so we'd move that up. So it will come in right after the approval of the minutes, but and following the two presentations by the by Mr. Mackay and by Mr. Adams. Is that agreeable with the council? Okay, so could I have a motion to move by Councillor McLeod, seconded by Councillor Frelick? Discussion? All in favour? It's unanimous, and thank you. So that brings us to the presentation on the Clean Foundation Home Warming Program. Mr. Mackay, would you like to come up here, please, sir? You didn't realize you were coming to such an exciting meeting, did you?
Yeah, they're never not exciting.
Oh. Hopefully you don't think this crowd is for you.
All right, how's everybody doing today?
Great.
Well, thank you.
Excellent, I really appreciate you guys having me. I won't take up too much of your time. This is just more of like an awareness and information talk. And so like I said, my name is Michael McKay. I'm from the Clean Foundation. Are you guys familiar with what we do? Yeah, okay, great. So we do a lot of environmental initiatives like watershed and stream restoration. We create artificial reefs in the ocean, trash and recycling pickup, all that kind of stuff. And we also have an energy efficiency program. Have you guys heard of home warming? Great. So the home warming program, basically what we do is we provide energy audits and assessments to people's homes. Now what that entails is you sign up for this program, we come and we do an energy assessment of your home. So we pressurize your whole house and we do an analysis to see where your drafts are, where your insulation's weak, all this kind of stuff. Because, I mean, like 80% of your energy cost is heating and cooling your home. And people, I mean, if you've ever paid an oil bill or an electrical bill or had split wood, you know, it's a lot of time and money goes into keeping your house warm. So we want to make sure you do it the most efficient way possible. Now, normally you would go to get this assessment and we would come and we'd give you like a 10-page list. Okay, you should do this. You should increase the foam insulation around your windows. You should get higher R-value insulation in your crawl spaces. You should do this. You should do that. All that kind of stuff. That stuff costs a lot of money, right? So it's kind of become that being energy efficient and being green and being environmentally friendly is unfortunately a luxury that a lot of Nova Scotians can't afford. So it's one thing to give somebody a list of things they can do, but if they can't do it, what's gained, right? So that's where we come in. We not only provide the free energy assessment to Nova Scotian homeowners who qualify under our income brackets, but we also do the repairs for them free of cost. It's not a rebate, it's not a loan. We have our own contractors, we have our own energy assessors. People apply, and we come in and we do the full energy assessment. We have our list of things we want to do. We go over with the homeowner. They approve what we're going to do. We send our guys in. They fix it. And a few months after it's all done, we send in our energy auditor again. And then we can take the baseline. Okay, you were here. Maybe your efficiency rating on your house was a 55. Well, after these upgrades, it's now a 75, and you're saving X kilowatts of energy, which translates into a lot of money. Typically, people save between $500 and $1,000 a year on their energy bill, which, if you are on a fixed income or a low income, is a substantial amount of money. And that extra $1,000 is invested right back into your community. And usually, we do anywhere around like $5,000 to $7,000 worth of work on each home. And and the way we do things at the Clean Foundation, we really believe in sustainability, so it's a multifaceted approach. We have the social element, which empowers people who didn't have the opportunity to be healthier, warmer, safer, more environmentally friendly. The environmental benefit is why we initially got in this program was, of course, reducing energy waste, fossil fuels emissions, all that kind of stuff. And then the economical, which of course is injecting money into communities that would be going towards Nova Scotia Power or the oil company or who, what have you. I can tell by a lot of faces here, you guys have some questions, but we'll get to that. I see some eyebrows go up. How our criteria works is primarily you need to be a homeowner. So you need to own your home. I don't mean own outright, but you need to be on the ownership papers. And the reason that we don't do renters is because if we went in and did a bunch of upgrades to somebody's house and the efficiency went way up and the place was a much nicer place, what happens? Yeah, you're out raising the rent, someone else in. So we don't want to displace people. So we do homeowners only. And our income criteria is we have, it's... Okay, one person living by themselves. So typically, if you own a home and you live by yourself, you typically be maybe a senior citizen, widower, or something like that, right? So that's under $21,000 a year if you make, you qualify. If you have 2 to 4 people in your home, if the household income is under $39,000, you qualify. And 5 or more, if it's under 55 and a half, you qualify. So depending on how many people in your house, it depends on your level. And the people over 18 years old contribute to your income bracket. So if you're a single father, a single mother with one kid, you're in the second bracket. Essentially, if you make less than $40,000 a year, you qualify if you own your home. The reason we're able to do all this is because of a large donation over a 10-year period from Nova Scotia Power, as well as the Nova Scotia government. And as I said, I work for Clean, so I don't work for Nova Scotia Power. I don't work for the government. I purely work for an environmental company. And we're partnered with Efficiency Nova Scotia on this, so we're both delivering it. And it doesn't matter if you're electric, your oil, your wood, you all qualify. You just need to let us know what your primary heat source. So if you have most people have redundancy systems, so maybe you have a wood stove and a heat pump. Well, heat pump would be your primary and you'd be electric. You just let us know. We do things like I said, it's all based on an analysis. So your neighbor might get something different than you get. It just all depends on your needs and what our energy auditors say. So it may be things like go through and do all the foam insulation around the windows, weather stripping, as I said earlier, higher R value insulation. We've done spray foam insulation through people's basements for older rock or concrete or block foundations. If there's a window or something that just can't be fixed and that's really affecting your rating system, we will replace that in some cases. In rare cases, I don't advertise this a lot, but we have given heat pumps if it made sense from the analysis. This is all paid for. We can do mobile homes as well, so it's mobile homes, trailers, and homes. We don't do apartment buildings or anything like that. And if it's okay with the council, I invite questions about this because I find like that's a really good way for you to learn about this, feel more comfortable. Again, I'm not selling you anything. There's no commissions. I work for outreach, and it's my job to inform people about these programs because obviously we have this giant program, but there's this much go towards marketing and outreach, whether all of the money is going into fixing these houses, because as I told you before, it's quite expensive. So, any questions for me about this?
Yeah, I have one quick one.
Yes.
Excuse me.
Oh, sorry.
The questions come from council. This is not an open meeting, I'm sorry. The question from any of the councillors? Yes, Councillor Fancy, Councillor Clare.
Looking at this, Michael, it looks like it's too good to be true, you know, but I look at this that way. And so when you're looking at this, a few things that come along with this. How much does it cost to do the initial assessment?
So we also offer the assessment for people that don't qualify in those income brackets that I mentioned. And the price, if you've done it in the past with Efficiency Nova Scotia, has fluctuated, but currently it's $99, and then anybody can go and get the assessment. They get the exact same report. The only difference is you don't get the work done. You would have to do the work yourself. And I think if you do it within a couple of years, you can get some rebates through Efficiency Nova Scotia.
The second part of that, so now you have the assessment done. If you're within those income brackets, you don't even pay the $99, is that what you're...
Correct.
So then, for a lot of people, which are going to be falling in these brackets, especially retired people or whatever it may be, they have up to, say, $5,000 or $7,000 worth of work to be up that could be done through this. Why wouldn't people have it done, I guess?
Well, the exact reason you mentioned when you first spoke was that it's too good to be true. There is a trust factor there. And the way I just describe it is that, like, we're delivering it clean and efficiency. We're not a government agency. We're not Nova Scotia Power. They just gave us a big lump sum. It's a 10-year program. We're in year 1.5. So it is building that trust factor, and that's partially why I want to come to municipal councils, because you guys are on the front lines. You know what areas could use this, and people trust you. You're their voted officials. So, and what I've done with municipals in the past is things like, do you guys do a property tax exemption mail out?
We used to mail to some that qualified in the past. Now it's an automatic mail out for the application if you've submitted in the past and qualified.
Okay. So what we've done in the past is we've worked with municipalities. So far we've done Bridgewater, Lunenburg, working with East Hants right now for their mail out next month. Antigonish County is doing one in 2 weeks with us. What we do is basically just add our application in there with a little blurb like, hey, like, because really your numbers would match our numbers quite closely. So for all intents and purposes, those residents would automatically apply because they obviously own their house if they're getting a tax assessment. And if you're sending it with those brackets, it works too. So that's what we've done as well. And I've had a counselor in Antigonish. He knew of a mobile home park that he knew was in rough shape, and he even offered to go door to door with our information. So basically, like as you said, it's too good to be true. Well, it's not. It's just we can't really reach people. We don't have the resources to do all the advertising and all that kind of stuff. That's why I'm here to speak to you guys today.
Thank you. Excuse me, just a sec. Can we Councillor McLeod, Councillor Waterman, Councillor Inglis? But just, I closed you off, sir, and I'm sorry.
That's okay.
But maybe you'd like to talk to Mr. Mackay on his way out. You perhaps can get his business card and so on.
I'm going to stick around for the vote because I'm very interested now. I'll be here in the back corner there for a minute. I'm sort of invested at this point.
Councillor McLeod.
It's a great program. And I learned about it when I went to the Saltscapes Expo in Halifax.
Cool.
And I brought home some information to pass on to people in my district that I knew could qualify.
Excellent.
And I know that there have been other programs available to low-income folks and just general people. Like I took advantage of the energy audit, 10 years ago at my house. I paid, I think, $175
yeah,
to have
changed,
it done.
Yeah.
And then they told me, okay, all I needed were very simple, low-cost things to change my energy efficiency in my house. And I didn't qualify for any of the refunds or whatever, but it was really good to have that information. And counselor, my next counselor here, Jack Fancy, indicated how do you get the information out? And I like the idea of maybe using our resources here to get out to the folks that are in the low-income bracket. But does it affect any of the other programs? Like, I know there's a fuel rebate program that low-income people get from the province. Like, do they take into consideration all these other benefits, or do they qualify for all those programs?
Well, that's the thing with this program, and thank you for your question. It it's a completely separate thing. The only thing that would impede somebody's application would be if they, so this program has existed for a couple years now, but it has changed, and this is the current thing. If they went through the same program, I think it was, I forget the RLIP or something, maybe like 5 years ago, that would be a consideration. We would look at that to see what was done, but in general, it doesn't affect any other rebates you get, whether you get rebates through Efficiency Nova Scotia or the government, completely unrelated. And you remind me of something too. After we're done the homewarming element, we automatically, with your permission, put you in the direct install program through Efficiency Nova Scotia, and that's where they come free of charge, and they replace all your incandescent lights with high efficiency LED lights. So that saves a bunch of money too. So did you get some work then? Did you notice there was a big difference with just small changes?
Oh, yes.
It's incredible. Like, you wouldn't think, we've gone to houses where like in the winter, there would be a big patch of green grass, but 4 feet of snow all around it because they were losing that much heat from their foundation that it was creating an ecosystem. Mm-hmm. And you could just see dollars flying out. I mean, every time the oil truck pulls up, right?
Okay, Councilor Waterman, and then Councilor Inglis.
Next month, I will be having that audit done on my house, and kind of excited to see what's going to take place. It's built 1938, so I'm sure. So, but I've been kind of picking away at it for years, so it'd be nice to know how to get prioritized and work on that. But colleges are not.
Okay. Oh, sorry, go ahead, interrupt you.
Colleges aren't under that program?
So how that works, it would have to be your primary residence.
Yes, primary.
So I mentioned, someone here said that their primary residence in Canada. I think that you'd have to probably spend the majority of the year in that residence. So I don't really know how that works. Maybe some people spend a lot of more, like if you're retired or something, spend a lot of time in your cottage. I'm not really sure how that works, but I have all the information. That's definitely worth a call. And even if you don't think you qualify, I always suggest calling our intake number because we really try to be helpful and give you other rebates and that kind of stuff.
So you say that you have contractors with your group, or can you get your own contractors locally?
Well, we have our own contractors, but what we do is we have like a high vetting process for them because we want a high quality standard, but they're all over the province. We don't have somebody driving from Halifax to here. We would have one of our best guys, he lives in New Ross, for example. So we have local guys all around, and that's sort of our environmental initiatives. We don't want all the emissions and kind of stuff. So everything sort of has a really environmental undertone with us.
Quite a way. So.
Yeah. But I don't know. I'm not sure. Like, he's the only one I know personally. His name's Dave. But the rest of them, they're around. I could look at that on a map and kind of pinpoint where they're at.
But you can use your own local contractor.
It would have to be our contractors.
Oh, it has to be your
Yeah, so that's the thing. We take care of everything. The resident doesn't have to. All they have to do is arrange times for us to do stuff. There's no work on their end whatsoever.
Councilor Inglis.
Thank you very much for the presentation. It's a refreshing departure from a slideshow being read to us. Do you have a card that that we can do things like links to our Facebooks, to your website, et cetera?
Absolutely. So I have lots of materials. I have a whole car full.
Oh, excellent.
And I love leaving places without materials. So I actually have a bunch of printed off applications, but also these are the brochures that maybe you've seen around, and it just outlines exactly what I said in a very direct manner, as well as a link to our website, homewarming.ca. I have my own business cards. I'm willing to speak to anybody on this.
Are you on your 211?
I don't know what that is. What is 211?
You don't know what 211?
What?
It's an information line for people to get
information.
Give me that card.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
On your brochure.
Oh, sure.
You should get on that.
I will. Yeah.
Okay, Councilor Fitz.
Sorry, sorry, Matt. Sorry. Sorry. I wasn't quite on my...
I'm sorry, I can't comprehend
this. Thank you for the presentation. You said Fitz, can you...
No, Councilor Inglis.
I'm sorry.
Have you finished?
Thank
you, sir. Councilor Inglis.
You're all forgiven. The great thing about this program that I want to point out so we zoom in on it is that for a couple, the threshold is about double of what our tax exemption is, so this will reach more people. And it is an interesting point, it's been touched on, but the too good to be true works against you.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's maybe you should put a $1 fee or something, so people won't be suspicious, but certainly, you know, we're on the ground. We can help people get links. Because what a fantastic service. If you're on a, especially if you're on a fixed income and the oil truck comes and it's 200 instead of 400, mm-hmm. and that's a big difference.
Absolutely.
Thanks for coming and sharing.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
That's official.
Just quickly, thank you very much for your presentation. I had an energy efficiency test done 5 years ago, went by all the rules and regulations, and I want the people in this room and our counselors to know that I cut my cost of my energy savings in half.
Yeah.
I'm all electric, and I even added to that with air conditioning and a pump for the swimming pool. So, I mean, it's very...
That's awesome. And that's the thing that people don't realize, just these small things that you think, oh, I need to invest this big money in this one thing, but it's just small things all over your home. And I mean, a lot of people have to pick between their energy bills and maybe their groceries or maybe their kids' school supplies or their clothes. So if you do these small things, it can really make a massive difference for you. And I thank you for everybody that questioned.
Thank you. Thank you very much indeed, Mr. McKay. Really appreciate your coming, and you can tell the interest, and I'm glad you're going to stay around for the boat.
And I'll leave as much materials as you guys want, and I'd love to speak to somebody about that mail out later via email. I think I spoke to you originally.
I think we could use quite a bit of material.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah. I hate taking this stuff back. All right, I'll be sitting in the back if anyone wants me.
Thank you. Just before I call former Deputy Mayor Adams to the table, there's a new pot of coffee I saw come in. If anybody would like coffee, please feel free to go help yourself. Mr. Adams, would you like to come forward for your presentation? Thank you very much.
Nice that you brought a following with you today, Doug.
Oh, yes. thank you, Your Worship. Is it okay if I step?
It certainly is. You would anything you like.
Good, thank you.
We appreciate you being here.
Thanks, buddy. Well, Mayor Clark, members of council, members of staff, and guests. Well, first of all, thank you for inviting me to speak to you about the role the committee members play in the South Shore Housing Authority. But first, I'd like to put everything in perspective. We operate under the Western Nova Scotia Housing Authority, which is actually broken down into three smaller authorities. There's Annapolis Valley Housing Authority, which includes the counties of Annapolis, Kings, and a part of Hanks. There's a Tri-County Housing Authority, which includes the county of Digby and Yarmouth, and up until 8 months ago, it included Shelburne. Then there's the South Shore Housing Authority, which includes the counties of Lunenburg, Queens, and now we have Shelburne. Now, the South Shore office is located in Bridgewater. It's in the Bridgewater Provincial Building, and that's at 99 High Street. The Housing Authority's mandate is to assist those persons requiring adequate, affordable housing. The applications are date stamped to reflect the date and time it was received when completed at the Housing Authority's office. Applications are reviewed and entered into a computer. A committee of the Western Regional Housing Authority's Board of Directors meets to approve or reject all applications submitted. Should the application for housing be rejected, the applicant will be notified in writing for the reason or reasons for rejection. And when approved, the application is then placed in the chronological waiting list or areas of the applicant's choice as per the date applied. As units become available in these areas, the applicant at the top of the list will be offered that unit. Now, the majority of family units consist of three bedrooms, a living room, a kitchen, and a bath. They contain a fridge, a stove, and a hookup for washer and dryer. Now, the majority of senior units consist of one bedroom, a living room, a kitchenette, a bath, and a storage room. They contain a fridge and stove, and there are storage facilities in every building. Now, rents are not fixed. Rent is calculated based on total household income. Generally, it's 30% for seniors on their gross income, and this figure includes heat. An additional $25 is charged for electricity, and $4.10 for laundry facilities on site. The families normally pay 25% of gross monthly income, and this figure includes heat if the unit is oil heated. If the unit is electrically heated, there's a charge of $49.45. Now, there are 593 housing units in the three counties in the South Shore. And the types of units are apartment buildings, single-family houses, and duplexes. Now, in the region of Queens, we have 120 housing units. And I'll just give an example of what they are. There are five senior apartment buildings. Waterloo 1 in Liverpool have 15 units. Waterloo 2 in Liverpool have 10 units. Union Place in Liverpool has 12 units. Riverside Apartments in Milton is 15 units. And Lakeview Apartments in Caledonia is also 15 units. And besides all of this, there's 53 family units. In addition, there's 9 rural and native housing units throughout Queens. And on top of that, there's 8 rent supplement units also in Queens. You might ask, who qualifies as tenants? Well, seniors must be 58 years or older. Now, residency requirements are that they must reside in Queens County for the past 12 or 23 consecutive months or 5 years of adult life. Family housing must have dependents in order to qualify. Now, the minimum age for a senior citizen is 58. In the case of a couple, only one of the couples is required to be of this age. And consideration is also given to persons under the age of 58 without dependents and with serious housing or other special needs, or if considering placement in places experiencing chronic vacancies. Now, an important factor to consider in the case of senior citizens is their physical and mental stability, because the units are designed for persons who can function independently, both mentally and physically, on their own or using community support services. Now, the system evaluates the applicant's need on the basis of such items as, if they're not limited to, current income, present shelter costs, condition of existing accommodations, and medical considerations. Now, there are 10 members on the South Shore Committee, which include 2 from Queens. Marie McLeod from Caledonia, who was nominated for a second 3-year term in 2015, and of course, is me. This past year, I was elected to be chair of this committee by my peers. Now, as committee members, we approve wait lists, approve or deny applications or transfers. We approve terminations of tenancy upon staff recommendations. We also attend meetings, and a big part of this all is we take phone polls from time to time. A lot is done by phone. At the first meeting for a new member, he or she is required to sign an undertaking concerning confidentiality. Committee members should ensure that matters becoming before the committee concerning personal information on tenants and applications are kept in strict confidence. Information concerning such matters as salaries, arrears, and social matters should not be divulged to unauthorized individuals. Now, our role as committee members does not take up a lot of time, but I believe it is a very important one. At present, we only meet 5 times a year, and it takes less than 2 hours for each meeting. And if you can do the math, that amounts to less than 5 hours, it's less than 10 hours per year. But we do a lot on the phone. When we arrive at each meeting, we are given a folder, which includes the business to be carried out. There are attendants' names and such confidential information included in the packages, as well as the minutes from the previous meeting. When the meeting is concluded, all this material is placed back in the folder and is passed in. As a committee member, our main purpose is to deal with tenant-related matters only, and not to become directly involved in the authority's operations. We have an agenda to go by, much like you have here, but ours deals with tenants only. First, we approve the minutes from our last meeting. We deal with any business arising from the minutes. And we ratify applications as all new applications. And of course, with new applications, there's always applications for discussion. We approve or deny priority access applications. Now, there's 3 conditions that an application would be prioritized for priority access. And this means that they are placed on the top of the wait list. Because a lot of people want to come in at the bottom, they want to jump to the top of the queue. Well, some of these conditions are inadequate housing. If the applicant continues, continued occupancy of the applicant's current presence must be opposed immediate danger to health and the safety of the applicant. There's also victims of family abuse. If the applicant is in immediate danger due to abuse, there's also life-sustaining supports. If the applicant requires life-sustaining support, it must be close to medical facilities. And of course, of all of these things, we do have appeals. Anything that we don't, that they're turned down on, the appeals and appeals come before our committee. And there's application for denial. A lot of people will apply and they don't qualify, but they feel that they should qualify, but they make too much money, or there's all kinds of things that they is denied for. So these applications for denial come before our committee. And then there's transfers for discussion. A tenant may ask for a transfer to be close to the medical facilities, shopping, banks, family, friends, or other vital or violent reasons. And all transfer requests are to be approved by our committee. In order to be eligible to transfer, a tenant must have occupied his or her unit for a maximum, or I'm sorry, for a minimum of 24 months. Now the board may relax this requirement where extenuating circumstances exist, such as documented medical factors. And then we have cancel applications. After so many months or maybe a year or two, there's all kinds of applications and there's been no openings for these people to move up into a unit, so their applications are, they're trying to be notified, they're phoned, they're sent letters, and or they may call in themselves and say, we've already received a home, so therefore take us off your list. But these applications are coming and the reasons for it, and we have to agree or ratify this or disagree with the ones who are on this list. And the hardest thing of all is evictions for committee discussion. We call it ratification of notice to quit. This is a really hard thing to do. In addition to arrears, a tenant must be evicted for other reasons. And these include, but are not limited to, causing excessive damage to the unit. Some units are really trashed, and some are partly damaged and whatever, and for whatever reason, we don't know, but when they're trashed, whatever, there's a hearing and they're asked to vacate. They also create unsafe conditions. And unsafe conditions is quite simply that they don't keep them clean, they don't do any upkeep on them, they just live there, and believe me, you wouldn't want to even go in and sit down in some of these places, but anyway, that's the way it is. And they're misrepresenting income. When you move into a unit, you're based on your income, it's 25% for families and 30% for seniors, and some have two or three incomes and they only come in with one. They only actually get one income. And so they're actually, when this is found out, they're asked to please leave. They're allowed, and also they're allowing unauthorized persons to live in the unit. Sometimes a single mom or a single dad will get a unit, and the next thing you know, the girlfriend or the boyfriend moves in, or maybe some family members. And this is all based on one income, but therefore, you know, it's without coming through the board and getting the okay to do this, they're asked to leave. They're also someplace cause social problems that seriously affect neighbors. Sometimes you can't get along with your neighbor. It's also all kinds of different problems. And these problems are actually looked into, and if they're very serious, they're asked to leave. And then there's another one called overhousing. Sometimes a family may get a three-bedroom unit. And as time goes by, these people grow up, they move out. Maybe, you know, either the mother or the father left, most of them, or maybe both of them leave. But anyway, what happens in this case is they're asked to move to a smaller unit so the family can move into the family unit. But in closing, I have a list of the current wait list numbers. And this is last week, this is last Wednesday. The waiting list for all three counties was, in Lunenburg County, there's 21 families looking for a unit, 68 seniors, and what we call non-elderly, 29. And in Shelburne County, there's 36 seniors, there's 36 families, 32 seniors, and 19 non-elderly. And in Queens County, we have 6 families waiting for a unit, 29 seniors, and 4 non-elderly. Now the non-elderly, there are persons under the age of 58, without dependents, with serious housing or other special needs, or they're being considered placement in places experiencing chronic vacancies. You think with all these people looking for housing, there'd be no vacancies, but there's some places within Nuremberg County, maybe Queens County, which are out like Riverport and in Nuremberg County, there's always chronic vacancies because no one wants to live way down there and have all their family, friends, medical facilities, shopping, banks, and whatever in Bridgewater. Or I don't know about Caledonia, we have the Lakeview Apartments, I think they're always filled, but lots of times where they lost a bank and there's a medical center, but there's no hospital, so they may want to get closer to. But anyway, Your Worship, that is my report, and again, I thank you for your having your faith in me and appointing me once again. And I have another 3 years to serve, and at that time I'll be 85, so therefore I think I'll give up the ghost.
So you're not, you qualify as non-elderly, retired?
I'm a non-elderly. Yeah. Well, no, I would be non-elderly, but only if I was under 58.
But anyway. Doug, thank you very much indeed. Questions of Doug? Councillor Fancy.
I've got a few, Doug, if you don't mind. Again, there's and I think one thing we should be promoting is this 211 again, is what we've already said. Are you on that so people, if they get into a situation where they want to ask a question, that they could be able to go on 211 and find you?
I could probably answer most of the questions, although any personal questions or anything to do with the housing authority, to do with finances, whatever, right. I can. They're not allowed to do this type of thing, this is confidential. Therefore, if you had, for instance, how much does the region pay to raise of all of this, you'd have to go to your financial officer or the CAO who could supply you with that information. They will not give it over to the Housing Authority office, and I can't get it.
I didn't mean all the answers, but just in general information. They know where to go, what phone numbers to call and everything.
What I don't have, I can look for him, yes.
I know, but are you on 211?
What is 211?
There we go.
But anyway, that's something to talk about after. I'd like to get a card from you. Riverview.
Riverview Apartments, yeah.
Riverview Apartments. Mm-hmm. Do you ever do upgrades to these? Because I look at there's people upstairs who are very, you know, it's the stairs and things are very, very much of a problem for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And I've been in there, beautiful apartments, but. Yeah. Sometimes it's very challenging to get up steps.
Well, I tell you, in Queens County, there's, I don't believe there's one seniors apartment with an elevator, although there's one been slated for Waterloo 1 this particular year. I think there's $145,000 set aside for that particular project. But I was on the Housing Authority back in the 90s, and Riverview had the same problem. The stairs are there, and people, the seniors apartments, as long as they're able to climb stairs, they're fine, but if they're not, the bottom floors are very, very scarce. Not only that apartment, but all apartments.
But it's scary watching. I've seen some people going up and down the stairs with the laundry in it.
Yeah, I know.
Could even chair, the chair things that you put in? How could you consider those things?
Anyway, I tell you.
The cost.
On the other next meeting, I will bring that up.
Okay.
I really will.
Councillor McLeod.
That good presentation, and I know a little bit of the background with the Housing Authority, and I'm also an elected official on the South Shore Regional Housing Coalition, which is the group, the SHAC group, that look at affordable housing. We're in the process now of doing a needs assessment for Liverpool, for Nuremberg, and Kings County, which will address some of the needs in the community. I have a question about the family units and the units, and specifically the ones that I'm familiar with are the ones on Kazan Street and Old Portington Road, which are the family units. Mm-hmm. And I often see that, are there standards that are given to the residents that rent those units as to the condition of their, I mean, some of them are unsightly, there's mess in the yards and that sort of thing. Aren't there standards that can be set with people that rent, and do you keep up
I believe there's 53 family units throughout Queens County. I have a list of them here, but whether confidential for these people, I can show you later, but I wouldn't want to get out to the general public. But when you get a unit from the Housing Authority, you sign the agreement, you sign a landlord's agreement, and you sign this agreement to keep the place neat and clean and don't trash it or don't smash it. That also includes the outside. Mm-hmm. And if they're not keeping this up, I don't think there's 590 units throughout the South Shore. I don't think there's someone going there. They'd have to go to working days, probably three a day, this type of thing for the whole year they're working there. So I don't think the standard, but if someone should report them, they'd have someone there the next day to check them. And they're supposed to keep the yards clean and the inside clean. If they need to be painted, and they'll be inspected, and there's no reason why they can't be painted inside and clean, but I don't know if they have the staff in order to police them every day.
Councilwoman, sorry. Yeah, I'd like to continue what Councilor Fancy said about the second floor. Mm-hmm. And it's the same as up in Lakeview. Even a chairlift would help some of the ones on the second floor. Mm-hmm. If you could bring that up, maybe at one of your meetings.
I will bring it up. I believe there's a ramp now. Isn't there one up to the second floor?
There's a what?
A ramp? I don't think there's a chair. I think there's a wheelchair ramp you can get up.
But another problem that seems to exist in those kind of buildings is the smoking. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the smoke is out in the hall, especially if they leave their doors open, and it's kind of like sometimes you leave the wind, you can smell. Some people are very sensitive to that, but then I realize that those rooms are their residence, so, you know, smoking is still legal.
And I agree. I despise anyone who smokes in a place like that, but in order to police it, I don't know.
I know.
How you control it.
Ventilation, maybe, I don't know.
Councilor Felix.
Doug, what were the weight numbers again that you were...
A wait list for Queens County?
Yes.
Yeah, we have six families waiting for a unit. We have 29 seniors, and the ones we call non-elderly that's under 58 with special needs is four.
And is that high, or is that...
I tell you, if you take a Lunenburg County, they have approximately 48,000 people. We in Queens, just under 11, I believe. And we have six families in Lunenburg have 21. We have 29 seniors, and Lunenburg has 68. We have four non-elderly, and Lunenburg have 29. So I think within the general population, I think...
What would be the average weight for...
The average weight list, it depends, but most of the time, there's quite a turnover every year. I mean, of course, with seniors, they either pass away, or they're taken in by family, or they go to a nursing home. So the wait list for seniors is quite a thing.
Is there anybody else who would like to ask Mr. Adams a question? If not, Doug, thank you very much indeed. And we really appreciate your working on our behalf in this commission. It's important to us, and we know we've got a really good guy in there. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Your Worship. And, next time, well, maybe in a year's time, if you're still sitting in the chair, then I'll be back.
That's a very tender question. No, thank you, Doug.
Thank you.
Thanks, Doug.
Bye. Thank you.
No petitions today, I'm sure. Public questions, I would ask we not deal with. Questions about the rezoning, but are there any other questions about any other subject from the members of the public?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Leon Robertson, Cottage Street, Liverpool. I was going to be asking questions with respect to number 16.1, but I understand that's put over to another, either
yes.
A special meeting or your next regular meeting, is that correct?
We'll have a special meeting, maybe it's the end of this week or very early next week.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Is there anybody else who would like to address council on other matters than the public hearing? If not, I'd move on. I'd entertain a motion to approve the minutes of the regular council meeting of May 10. Councilor Fisk moving, Council Waterman seconding, all in favor. It's unanimous. And for the public hearing of May 10th, 2016. Councilor McLeod moving, Councilor Fisk seconding, all in favor. It's unanimous. And now we are going to move item 13.3 up on the agenda. Mr. McLeod, if you would come and help us, please. And
following our normal practice, Councilor McLeod, you go surface of McLeod's here, haven't we? There is a motion that has been passed around. Would you like to read the motion?
Yes, in order to get the discussion and debate on the floor, I'd like to make the following motion. That the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality adopt a bylaw respecting amendments to the Region of Queens Municipality Municipal Planning Strategy, which would see, one, the creation of a new tourist commercial zone, C6, amending the generalized future land use map, 4, to change the designation of PID numbers 701-77357, 701-77365, 701-77373, 701-77381, 701-77399, and a portion of 701-7817 to commercial C. And number 3, amending the generalized future land use map 4 to change the designation of PIDs 702-61029 and a portion of 701-17817 to conservation O. And that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality adopt a bylaw respecting amendments to the Region of Queens Municipality Land Use Bylaw, which would see the rezoning PID numbers 701-77357, 701-7365, 701-7737, 701-77381, 701-77399, and a portion of 701-17817 from seasonal residential R7 to tourist commercial C6. And number 2, the rezoning of PID 702-61029 and a portion of 701-17817 from seasonal residential R7 to conservation 01. And those numbers are embedded in my mind.
I thought I was going to be talking in my sleep with numbers like that. Okay, is there a seconder for that motion? Council Waterman seconded, thank you. Discussion. Mr. McLeod, I think we've had a pretty thorough discussion.
Yeah, I think that's as what was presented earlier at the public hearing. The motion reflects the changes to the original motion or original discussion from back in December. So,
thank you. Discussion, Councilor Inglis.
Mayor Clark, would it be possible for Mr. McLeod to put the map back on?
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. I think it'd be useful if we have it. Whilst you're just getting that up, just as an aside comment, the first time in 3.5 years we've had to send out for extra cups for coffee.
Not washing them.
Right. Okay, there we are. Okay, discussion. Councilor Waterman.
So if this motion does not go through, then that area will be kind of wide open. This does not put more restrictions on that area that's designated. And especially like the commercial, it's tourist commercial. It isn't commercial, like you can't put a garage there or, you know, it's very restricted under the commercial tourism. Tourist commercial. Does it not put more restrictions on that land than previously, like it is now?
Right now, zoned as seasonal residential. If the motion does not get approved by council, essentially the lots remain as seasonal residential R7, subject to the permitted uses within that zone, which is a fairly limited use residential listing uses anyway. So if it doesn't get passed, that existing zoning remains in place. So
there are no restrictions to the conservation piece, though.
The conservation zone, I guess that's a decision of council as well. The conservation zone is probably the most restrictive zone that I guess we have under the current land use bylaw, as far as the permitted uses that are permitted, the type of development that's permitted within that zone. So. But zoned as, if the amendments go through, the new C6 zone is very specific to the type of commercial development, so it's not wide open for essentially any type of commercial development. It's very specific to tourist rental units, so it's very limited as to the list of uses.
Next, Councilor Fisk.
If the zoning stayed the same, Mr. White, if he's still allowed to build his cottages there, his rentals?
Under the seasonal, under the R7 zoning, it allows for single unit dwellings. So as we don't get into whether it's a residential rental unit on a monthly basis or whatever, we don't get into that. It's a single family dwelling, essentially, is what gets built on the property. And he would certainly be able to do that under current zoning.
Thank you.
Councilor McLeod and Councilor Frelick.
Being the chair of the Planning Advisory Committee, and when this application was brought before the committee, we had a lengthy discussion on the needs of Mr. White and what his proposal was and what his application was. And in all good intentions, we wanted to basically protect the adjacent landowners from any use of that current zoning that is possible now. It's basically a free-for-all at that point. It was our good intentions was to develop a tourist commercial zone in order to provide some type of use of that land that was a little bit more restrictive. However, that does not change, I think, from understanding what Mr. White has said, that he could certainly build anything he wanted in those that, was it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lots there, excluding the pond area, which I feel strongly, very strongly, should be a conservation zone area, because that's certainly the way it should have been, and maybe we should have thought of that before. But I've listened to all the comments from the landowners today, and I certainly have taken all of those into consideration. And I know that under a commercial aspect of tourism, I do think, and I stand to be corrected, that a person is able to rent a cottage out under certain guidelines under the provincial tourist departments, and I don't know what those guidelines are committed, but I know there's still opportunities there in order to do that. I don't know whether you can change a motion or whether you can amend a motion, but if I would suggest that we just include the rezoning of PID 70261029 and a portion of 70117817 to conservation and leave the others as is.
Yes.
Thank you. Councilor Frederick, will you next?
Yes. I just have one question. The tourist zone, is there any advantages other than compared to what it is now? What would be Mr. White's advantage? Is it that he would be able to put a commercial store there? Or commercial?
My understanding is he was interested in operating, I guess, it as a unit,
right,
as opposed to five or whatever single family dwellings on separate lots that could technically be sold as single family dwellings. Basically is to operate the business as a unit.
So if we left it as is, he would still be able to carry on, but he wouldn't have that tourist commercial part of it.
Yeah, essentially advertising as whatever he wanted to call the
rental cabs
or whatever.
Councilor Fancy.
I take it too, though, Mike, that the part of it would be too, that like if somebody wanted to have a canoe, you could lend out a canoe, but you can't rent it, because then that becomes commercial, right? So
that's commercial. Yeah, that's right.
Does anybody else want to speak? Councilor English?
I've actually got a number of points and questions, if I may. Mike, lot sizes, and I know these lots, to see them, you know, from Old Mill Lane. Lot pending in 7357, which will be the first one coming in. How large a lot is that in square footage? And I'm not holding you within 10,000.
That one is probably in the vicinity of an acre. A lot of the lots out there are done two-thirds of an acre to
right.
a little bit better. So
is that lot large enough to subdivide?
To subdivide, I would say no.
No. So the one major variation would be under the Taurus commercial, you'd be able to put two dwellings on these lots, wouldn't you?
Yeah, and I think it was the intention to consolidate the five inland lots into a single parcel of land,
right.
And then develop.
So currently, if by example, Mr. White wanted to have cottages and rent his cottages, he could have five along that strip. But under the seasonal commercial, the current ownership or subsequent ownership, under those new guidelines, could conceivably have more buildings than that on those lots, or that consolidated.
If he was looking at consolidating that into one unit, so all five of those parcels become one parcel and then multiple buildings, that's your commercial
right.
unit. So to remain a seasonal residential, it's one main building on a lot. So
right.
The lots would have to stay as they are.
Right.
Each building would have to meet setback requirements of the.
So under the current zone, five cabins could be built there, conceivably more.
Eventually.
Okay. And right now and I think maybe you're answering my next question, because I wondered if all lots met that 9,000 square feet, but it wouldn't matter if they were consolidated into one.
And see, were these, I guess right now, these are existing lots. So as long as the development can meet the setback requirements of the zone, then construction, of course, they'd have to meet the department requirements.
Right.
For
okay.
As well.
Understand that one. And the Annis Lake lot, would that meet setbacks?
No.
So that's not possible to build a dwelling on that?
No.
Okay. And another question I had. Under the current zoning or under the proposed zoning, I remember, by example, when I purchased the lot next to my house, you and I chatting, and I knew that if I ever wanted to build an accessory building on that lot, I would need to, because there's no principal residence on it, I would need to amalgamate it into my...
There is provision. You can have a personal storage building on a lot. So it has to be, there's a certain size that it has to be built, but there's provision that's potentially approved.
Okay. So if, let's say there was a development of dwellings for rent up on the larger patch here and down below the access point into Canoe Cove, could there be the construction of a boathouse there without a dwelling?
If it was owned as a seasonal residential.
It could, okay. And what about now? If five individual cottages were built on these lots, could a boathouse to serve them be built on that waterfront property?
If you met the setback requirements, and it was still under current zoning.
Right.
Yeah. But if it's rezoned to Conservation 01, then no.
Right. Okay. And taking various points from the gallery today, when people were good enough to make their remarks, there wouldn't have been planning in 1971 when these
no,
purchases would have been.
Prior to 2009, there was no land use regulation
right.
in this area. So essentially, if you met Department of Environment's regulations, you were good to go.
Right, okay, and I'm almost done, Mayor Clark. One of the points that was raised as well, it was raised by Sarah from the gallery, is the access to these lakes and communities. And one of the things that the Region of Queens does each year is we tax exempt a number of properties held by the lot owners associations. And they're tax exempted in order to provide public access to those lakes and areas. And Jennifer and I had talked about it before, and hopefully something we can have done is have those mapped so that people who do want to access, by foot, for a picnic, et cetera, there are areas out there provided for your enjoyment. So wanted to point that out while we have so many people in the gallery. The last question that I had or is, I think that there's a very large agreement amongst the community that the duck pond, beaver pond, et cetera, gain that zoning as conservation. I'm a little concerned if we take a proponent's application and just make an amendment during the process, will that stand? Are we able to do that? Or do we need the proponent to? Did you follow my reasoning on that, Rick?
I do.
Right now, he did anecdotally make the comment that he supports that. I want to make sure that if we get this done, that it stands from today into the future.
Is there anyone who hasn't spoken who would like to speak? I normally, when I'm sitting up here, get a feel for how council is going to vote on an issue and how they would like to go. I don't have that feel at the moment. My own personal feeling, though, is I support, I think, the line of thought that Councillor McLeod was on, which is that we go ahead with the conservation zones. I heard what Mr. White said, and I think Mr. White has been very accommodating through this whole process. He wanted to work with people, he's worked with councillors, he's worked with us in here. He's made significant adjustments to his right as a landowner, and I appreciate that. But that said, he did say that he could live with the blue lots, if I can describe them so unofficially as that. But he would really like to see that little pond become the center of the conservation zone in green. I was trying to think how one might amend the existing motion to reflect that. And I think it could be done reasonably easily, but there are better wordsmiths up here than me. And I could see a motion that would have the opening paragraph and then dropping right down into three. And the second part of the motion, and let the council, and again, get rid of one and go down to two. Which would have, I'm still running with Susan's thought because it's the one that's going through my mind. So that would establish the conservation zone and leave the blue properties in with their existing status.
Yeah.
Mr. McLeod, have I lost you? Are you?
No, I think good.
Yeah. But
is that as an amendment?
Well, Councillor, I think it needs some polish to do that. I'd like to have some nods or head shakes as to whether you're on that same sort of wavelength, because I then would like to ask Mr. McLeod perhaps to wordsmith that for us and come back and vote on it after a little while when he's got that done. Councillor Fisk.
Will that mean that the commercial zoning will be gone?
I didn't hear your last word. On or
will
gone?
Will that mean the commercial zoning will be gone?
Yes.
Councillor
Waterman.
But would that be a friendly amendment? You know, you're...
Well, I think we'll see how friendly we can get with this.
Are friends.
Well, there have been times we may not be, but...
I don't know that.
Councillor Inglis.
I think that you have a consensus on the amendment. Would it be apropos maybe to take a 5-minute break to make sure that it's properly written?
You want to do it right.
Yeah,
I
want to do this one.
I want to do it right, too. That's where I'm heading. But I want to get a sort of feel if everybody is on that same sort of wavelength. I'm getting lots of nods. I understand nods. Okay.
Are you all right, Mike? Okay, we'll take 5 minutes. And if you need six?